But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. That is sick. That is sick, man. That is twisted. That is so morbid. Amazing. That's the kind of stuff that's all from in the Bible from cover to cover, man. That's why I love the Word of God, man. You just never know what you're going to read. That actually happened. You know, when I hear stories like that, brought the head, the severed head of this prophet on a platter to the girl, she presented it to her mother. When you hear stuff like that, it's somewhere like a cross between the most bizarre soap opera in the world and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's what I mean, and yet this is real life. Real life is like that. It amazes us. We live in America, so we're sheltered from a lot of this stuff, but that's what life is like in a lot of places. Now, believe it or not, but wait, there's more. It's actually worse. When we get down to the nitty-gritty, it's actually worse than in details than the stuff I just read to you. Let me give you a little bit of background about this guy, Herod. Herod Antipas, okay? There's a lot of different Herods. The Herod in this story is a guy named Herod Antipas, A-N-T-I-P-A-S. Now, he had some serious issues, and here's might be why, all right? His dad was a guy named Herod the Great. His dad was the king over the whole area. Herod the Great was the guy who killed all the babies in Bethlehem that were 2 years old and under, all right? That's his dad. Nice guy. His dad had six sons, okay, from right to left. Antipater, Philip I, Antipas, Aristobulus, Archelaus, and Philip II. Aristobulus, how do you correct that guy? You know, Aristobulus, get away from the refrigerator. He had to have a nickname, I don't know. Anyway, Antipas, he's number three. This is the guy we're talking about in this story. Aristobulus, okay, one of the sons, had a daughter named Herodias. Herodias originally married her uncle Philip. And then they had a daughter, Salome. She then, Herodias, divorced her uncle Philip so she could marry Uncle Antipas. So she divorced one uncle to marry her other uncle. Her daughter eventually winds up marrying her granduncle, Philip II. So when Herodias had Salome, she was basically giving birth to her own cousin. Now, yeah, thankfully Salome, when she married Philip II, didn't have any kids by him, or she'd been giving birth to her own aunt and uncle. You're just... So, this is all, you know, it doesn't remind me of any particular state or anything, but it's just a state of confusion. Salome actually didn't have any kids by Philip II. He eventually died, and she wound up marrying her cousin. So, okay, so you can see there's some serious issues to begin with. But the Herod of this story, Herod Antipas, also had other serious issues. Lust was one of them. Had a huge problem with lust, had a huge problem with power. And when you combine lust with the fear of man, you are creating a fatal cocktail. Lust combined with the fear of man will tear your carcass up. And that's exactly what it did to him. Now, when we look at this guy, Herod Antipas, he is a tormented man. He lives his day-to-day life enslaved by fear. And there's at least four people or four people groups that he is afraid of. The first one, it says, is that he's afraid of John the Baptist. It says in verse 20, "For Herod feared John, knowing he was a just and a holy man." He was afraid of John. He knew that God's grace was with John. He said, "I really ought not to mess with John the Baptist. And besides that, he looks weird. He looks like he could kick my butt from here to Sunday." You know, walking around in the wilderness, eating locusts and wearing camel's hair and all that. Got a stick in his hand. He feared John, all right? And ironically, this is the one person that Herod didn't fear enough. He feared him a little bit. He had a sense of fear, but he should have feared him a whole lot more because John was a prophet of God. John spoke the word of God to the people for the time. Now, he actually liked John. It said he enjoyed listening to him. In fact, even after he took him to prison, even after he arrested him, he put him in prison in the dungeon below his palace in Machaelis, I think if I'm pronouncing that right. And he would take time off to go down in the prison and just talk to him, hang out with John, and they'd have conversations, and he would really get all warm and fuzzy, and he'd like that, and it would kind of pump him up, and he enjoyed listening to John. He would converse with him on occasions because he liked the guy. But even though he enjoyed him, and he did many religious things, the one thing he never did was deal with his sin. I wonder if you know anybody like that. They love to listen to preaching. They'll get the CD, they'll get the tape, they'll turn on the TV at the proper time, they'll listen to the sermon, they'll even get the T-shirt, maybe they'll buy the DVD, and they'll talk about it with all their friends, and they have a lot of pleasure. They get stimulated. Maybe they do religious things as a result. They'll go to church, they'll do this, that, and the other thing. But they will never do the one thing they're called to do, and that is to deal with their sin. They never find a place of repentance in their life. And for all of their religion and for all of their activity, they never get saved. Because they never deal with the fact that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and God wants to deliver them and take that away from them and give them a new heart and a new spirit and wash their slate clean if they will just turn from sin and put their faith in Christ. That was Herod. He feared John, but he didn't fear him enough. And so he never dealt with these issues that were destroying his life. Second person he was afraid of was Herodias' wife. How many guys are afraid of your wife? No, don't put your hand up. Don't give him that ammunition. He was afraid of his wife. You know anybody like that? Scared of their wife? Let me ask you a question. His wife was Herodias. Did Herodias like John the Baptist or did she hate John the Baptist? What? She hated him. She wanted him dead. I'm sure every night they were getting ready for bed. He's taking off his slippers. She's like, "So are you going to kill him or what? Is he dead yet? Here we go. Another day. I got to put up with this guy telling me all about this sin. It's not lawful to be married to you. Blah, 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 blah." You know what the ladies down at the club are saying? "I can't get away from it. Every time I turn around, somebody's talking about John the Baptist. When are you going to kill the guy?" And Herod is just like, "God. It's better to live in the corner of a roof than to dwell in a house with an angry woman." That's what the Bible says. Yeah, look at her. John the Baptist was prettier than her. I mean, what is that thing she's got? Yeah, I mean, you know, look at the smile. It just warms my heart. She's got that look like, yeah, when we get out of this room, you and I are going to do some talking. Herod was afraid of his wife. Why did she hate John the Baptist? Pointed out her sin. He called her bluff. Pointed out her sin. And the Bible says that Herod put John in prison for the sake of Herodias, his wife. Now, she wanted him to put John to death. And Herod might have even killed him. Except, number one, he feared John the Baptist. But number two, he also feared the people. Number three, Matthew 14:5. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So here's the guy. He's between a rock and a hard place. He's afraid of his wife, and she just won't let it go. Kill the man. Be done with it. When are you going to man up and kill him? He was afraid of her, but he was also afraid of the people because if he killed John the Baptist, it'd be like he was killing Elijah. They thought he was a prophet. They considered him to be like some of the other guys in the Bible. And if he had just taken him right out and just put him to death because of what he said, he'd have insurrection and rebellion. He'd have a full-scale revolution on his hands. And that might cost him his job. So he was tormented. He was caught between a rock and a hard place. He feared his wife because she was making his life a living hell over this Baptist guy. And he feared the public because he didn't dare what might be considered political suicide. So he did what any self-respecting politician does. He compromised. He relied on his own human wisdom and cunning and intelligence. And he compromised. He said, well, I can't kill him. But I can't just let him go. I'll put him in prison. That'll make everybody happy. That's it. How brilliant am I? No wonder I'm king. So he compromised. He arrested him and he put him in prison. Just that way he figured he'd get his wife off his back. And maybe someday he could let him out when it's convenient. This thing will die down. I can let him out. Everything is good. We're all happy. It's so tempting to compromise on things by resorting to our intellect. We will scheme and manipulate and connive. How many people here have ever heard the wheels turning in their head? They're in some situation they can't get out of, and instead of simply surrendering to God and saying, God, whatever you want, my life is yours, we will scheme and think and plot and plan, and you can see the smoke coming out of our ears because of all these things that we figure, well, I'll do A to make B happen, and when B happens, I'll get Bob over here to do C, and then you know, Joe will do D, and then maybe it'll all come together, and this, you know, house of cards will stand. And then it crashes around our ears because we're relying on ourselves. The Bible says that God catches the wise in their own craftiness.